Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KU Report. Corey and Chad here getting an update from Monero Alamos, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MAI, as well as on the OTCQX under the symbol MAIFF. We are chatting with the president, Doug Ramshaw. Now we're going to start by quickly covering a pretty big important news release for the company that was released just yesterday, May 31st. This is a construction financing package for the Cerro de Oro gold project, as well as Q1 financial results. Now this construction financing package consists of $25 million US. It is a $15 million loan facility and a $10 million royalty, expected to close on or around July 14th. Still has to go through some due diligence, but Doug, take us through this financing package now. This would fully fund the development at Cerro de Oro. What are some of the important notes that we can take away from, and give us your assessment on how this came together, please?
Thanks for having me back on, guys. I think the important thing is I wanted to deliver something which was non-dilutive from an equity standpoint. And one could argue royalties are dilutive. And so if we'd gone with a traditional royalty company that didn't have a buyback, that would be top line revenue on your project dilutive instead of equity dilution. But it's still a form of dilution. Working with the group we are here, and we'll just go through final legal what's largely legal due diligence now between now and July 14th. You know, they're not a traditional royalty company. As a result, we've got a buyback on that as well. And so in time, we'll be able to reduce that royalty encumbrance on the project. And that was something which I think should be appealing for people, because royalties are a polarizing topic. Some people love them, some people hate them. This is a way of bridging a funding gap with a view that you can then retire it largely in due course. And so I think this was a solid solution for demonstrating the one thing we had control of for Cerro de Oro. Obviously, it's still going to be permit dependent, and 20 of that 25 million US can't be drawn until permits are received. We still hope very early in Q1 next year that will be the case. But the one thing I could control was making sure our shareholders didn't wake up one day to, great news, we got permits. And then 2 days later, sorry about the lack of foresight on how we were going to fund this build. Now we're taking some deeply discounted equity deal to raise the capital to build it. We were in a position to get ahead of what it was going to take to fund the development there. And I think, you know, today's news marks that. And hopefully also serves to remind people who are shareholders of Monero that whilst, yes, our first mine is Santana, and yes, it was built cheaply and it's done a reasonable job so far, it's still taking a little while to expand and get it to where we want it to be. But you didn't buy Monero just for Santana. There was a path that we wanted to show of multiple mine builds. And so having the funding package in place for the second one, just like we have permits in place for our third one, La Fortuna, I think is an important step in reminding people that owning Monero is about owning a business model that is designed around bringing on multiple mines as rapidly and prudently as we can, that can scale up our production profile pretty rapidly. And Cerro de Oro will do that very much so. It's a big conventional build, 60 plus thousand ounces out the gate, and we know we've got an upside case where we can see 30 to 40% increases of production profile over that base case presented in the PEA.
Well, Doug, hats off to your team for this transaction and getting the capital piece of it dialed in. As you say, that was within your control, and it sounds like things are still on track for permitting to start construction next year on Cerro de Oro. And to your point about the multiple mine strategy, yeah, that's actually what attracted me, I should say, in full disclosure, as a shareholder of Monero Alamos, was that you didn't want to just build one small mine. You wanted to build a sequence of mines and then build some momentum there and have true production growth. So when you look at Cerro de Oro going into construction next year, all things considered, you mentioned 60,000, but with the potential to grow the upside. Walk us through what the construction process will look like, the time, how complex is this, and then what is the blue sky upside that you still see at the project?
Yeah, I mean, we took a little longer on preparing the permit applications because we know the project can get bigger. So back earlier this year when we announced the permit applications had gone in, you know, we had an image there and it showed two leach pads. So those leach pads had the capacity of twice the mineral that we're talking about in the PEA case. And it's because we wanted to make sure that we already had permits tailored for what we consider to be obvious upside at that project. And that upside, is say, we think it can be very similar to El Castillo that Darren and the team built. They ultimately got over 100,000 ounces in some years. You know, we do absolutely see that scale of operation at Cerro de Oro. So we wanted to be ahead of that in terms of what needed to be permitted. And it was worth taking the extra few months to ensure that those permit applications covered that upside case as well. So you're not going back, not to the drawing board, but, you know, you'd love to expand, but now you're back into permit amendments and the like. In terms of construction, well, Cerro de Oro is one of our classic open pit heap leach builds where we're building a carbon plant there. And really, other than that, because we'll be shipping loaded carbon again, it's pads, ponds, some crushing facilities, but really not much in the way of infrastructure. And we're lucky that we've got a lot of flat ground there for the very large heap leach pads we'll need. And then as mining starts, Cerro de Oro has a remarkably low strip ratio. I mean, let's face it, it needs it. It's low grade at 0.37 grams per ton gold, but it has a life of mine strip ratio of 0.3 to 1. And in year one, that strip ratio is about 0.1 to 1. I mean, for every 10 tons coming out of the pit, only one ton goes to the waste dump. And it's one of the reasons you can mine something like this so economically and with the kinds of margins that the PEA spoke to. So we'll, you know, upon construction, that should be about a 6-month process once we have those permits. Mining and leaching will start very quickly because there's no real pre-strip. I mean, heck, there's barely any strip in the first couple of years of operation period. So it really allows us to get into the meat of the project very quickly, and it won't have the kind of more bootstrapped approach of a Santana, which kind of has its ebbs and flows and kind of goes through its expansion phases over time. And with exploration success, Cerro de Oro starts with 800,000 ounces. We think it can probably be 1.5 million ounce deposit in due course. So far more visibility on starting ounces and future ounces there. And it's one of the reasons we're drilling at Santana now on raw discovery exploration holes on some of the other targets around there, because we want to show where the upside is at Santana too, not just to the market, but for our internal planning of the next stages of Santana's growth, which may be a year or two away, but you need to be ahead of that with the drill bit and the like. So notwithstanding, I'm not satisfied with, obviously, our stock price performance. I'm sure many companies are in the same boat. But just because many are doesn't mean I should, you know, be comfortable with the trend. Our stock performance has been lousy, especially for the last 6 months. I'd like to think that with today's news and news that's going to be upcoming, we can hopefully right that ship and restore the faith that our shareholders have very loyally shown into our business model, which I think is a smart business model for this cycle or any cycle, to be perfectly frank.
So just one more question on Cerro de Oro and your comments on how quickly it can get into production, the low strip initially, how quickly it sounds like it can get to cash flow, ties in with how quick the payback period it is for that loan facility of 3 years. But how much will you balance those growth perspectives with simply getting that mine up and running? I know you make it sound easy to get up and running, but will you also be attacking the continued or the thought of growth at Cerro de Oro as you're building or shortly after you start mining?
I actually think that there's some things we can do, and potentially even this year, that we'll be able to start showing that upside case. Either way, it won't be a distraction from building the mine based on the PEA. We've got it permitted to scale up beyond that if necessary. I think focus should be very much on execution on the build. If ahead of that build starting, we can show why we spend that extra time to permit additional pad capacity and pond capacity, I'd be delighted, you know, as soon as possible to be able to start showing the market why we believe Cerro Oro is not just a 60,000 ounce a year producer, but can be a 90 to 100,000 ounce a year producer in due course. But eyes on the prize, we've got permit consultants who are very skilled now taking the permits through the process. We've got, you know, support at multiple layers of government, local community support that was 100% supportive of the build. The local town there, again, with surface rights agreements with them. So I think this is the kind of mine that, you know, is absolutely what Mexican communities have been built around. I mean, our hiring policy will all be local. These are mines that bring increased prosperity and other services to, you know, more rural areas, albeit Zacatecas being a very mining focused state. And I think that as a company is important. It's not just to think about your shareholders, it's to think about all stakeholders, including your local community partners.
Well, Doug, it does sound like on all cylinders you're firing for Cerro de Oro, and the plan is coming together to get mine number two built in the next year or so and into production. So it's going to be exciting to follow along. But let's pivot back to mine number one. Let's not overlook the contribution that Santana's making. You did put out just on May 2nd, the year-end financials from 2022 and an operations update. What can you tell us about how Santana's performing? And then it seemed like the market also, Doug, read into, you know, the pay down of some of the payables and some other investments you made into Cerro de Oro as a negative instead of seeing that the mine was delivering as advertised.
Well, I mean, I don't think Santana is performing as advertised. Not certainly as I've advertised it over the years, and that's a big disappointment to us. But it's not that it's some white elephant either. It's demonstrated as we've ramped up production, it can spit off very significant free cash, you know, in a quarter at certain production rates. You know, we built this during a pandemic. We come into operation during a heavy drought that really impacted certain water balance over our own water wells. The regional water there that would help with water balance during a drought largely dried up too. And so we made prudent decisions to not blow some giant hole in our balance sheet and scale back certain production and focus on some development work and pre-stripping and the like, which wasn't so water intensive. So that we were in a position, as forecasted, as the warmer, dry La Nina event dissipated, which certainly by our weather data at site has been the case this year, we can prepare to start expanding operations there again. We built it on budget. Actually, the costs when we're producing gold, you know, during largely, well, certainly through the first three quarters of last year, were in line with our pre-COVID estimates of what our costs were going to be. These are good, you know, dare I say, almost high margin ounces. We just need to produce more of them. And we have plans in effect to make sure that, you know, hopefully our production profile at Santana is going to be second half of the year weighted, but is heading in that right direction. So I don't think it's been a complete disappointment, but it has been a source of frustration for our shareholders and us. But again, you're not buying Minera and owning Minera just for Santana. And I think today demonstrates our resolve to bring the second mine forward whilst also ensuring that capital that was needed at Santana, you know, to expand it and to drill upside there can be utilized. And so I think we're in a pretty good position. I'd like to think that the worst is behind us, but it's been, you know, a pretty dark time for shareholders. I'm a very large shareholder myself. We're barely 4 or 5 cents above what my average cost is on my close to 9 million shares. So, you know, when you align with your shareholders, when they're hurting, you're hurting. And, you know, and it creates even greater resolve to make sure that you're turning it around for them. And that's certainly what our team, who work tirelessly on behalf of our shareholders down in Mexico, are looking to do.
Well, Doug, I appreciate the update at Santana for mine number one. We've already spent a lot of time on Cerro de Oro, and rightly so. It's big news that was out yesterday. But the other thing you mentioned in the onset of one of your first answers, Doug, is that people didn't buy Minera for just one mine or even two mines. It's a series of mines. So looking further afield, you do still have the fully permitted Fortuna project that's there. But you've also mentioned in previous interviews you're still looking at other potential accretive deals for the company. What can you tell investors about, I guess, the longer-term strategy for the company and how you'd like to not just be one mine or two mine, but multiple mines?
Yeah, I mean, I've stated on the record. I mean, I think our existing portfolio can, in time, get us to 150,000 ounce a year producer. I don't want to quit. There are days, plenty of them have recently, where I would love to, you know, hang my shoes up and, you know, just be an investor and the like and not deal with the day-to-day management stuff. But I'm very proud of what we're doing at Minera, and I don't think I want to retire until we build it into a 200, 250,000 ounce a year producer. A good chunk of that can come from our existing portfolio, no doubt, with delivering on those. But it also means that you're looking at what is a smart deal that is going to make sense for your shareholders down the line that can add to the pipeline. As you bring mines on, you've got to have your development pipeline as well. So we're always reviewing opportunities in that regard. And, you know, there were some things last year we spent some time on, fortunately not a lot of money on, that didn't pass our smell test in the end. Even after hundreds of hours of diligence looking into them, sometimes the best deals you do are the ones you don't. But yeah, I mean, there's probably a few things this year that are potentially actionable, but we're always going to look at them against, if we did nothing, is it more beneficial to our shareholders to just bring on Cerrador, see that free cash generation that can really help the growth aspect of the company through new opportunities? And that's always a battle we have, is like, do we just stand pat, deliver on the existing portfolio? That's probably a really good strategy. But once in a while, the right asset comes along, like when Cerro de Oro did, that you can pick up with remarkable cost that can deliver, you know, even more remarkable value on executing on its build. So, you know, we're not going to just put our heads in the sand and just see our current assets through. If there are potentially those diamonds in the rough out there, like Cerro de Oro was just a few short years ago.
All right, Doug. Hey, thank you very much for this update. We'll post a link to the most recent news release because that's really where we spent the main focus here. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for Doug regarding this financing package, regarding the continued production and ramp up, please email us. We'll get Doug to address those. Doug, thank you again for this update, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.